one of the vehicles is on fire and fire crews are on scene. Weather forecast for this evening: tonight, mostly clear with a low around 54, east wind around 6 miles per hour, becoming calm overnight. Tomorrow, patchy fog before 7 a.m., otherwise mostly sunny with a high near 77, calm wind becoming west-southwest. Monterey Bay Area Boaters forecast for this evening: small craft advisory is in effect overnight. Tonight, northwest winds 15 to 20 knots, with gusts as high as 30 knots. Wind waves 4 to 5 feet, west swell around 2 feet at 17 seconds, and southwest swells up to 2 feet at 17 seconds. KSCO News Talk time is 8:06. Time now for Wake the Bear Radio.
Opinions expressed in the following sponsored program are not necessarily those of KSCO Radio, its staff, management, or advertisers. If something is said with which you disagree, please call us during the program in order to help us balance comments.
Welcome to Wake the Bear Radio with your host, Brandon Johnson, Chris Hurst, and Ron Powers.
Kaboom!
Come on. The atmosphere has shifted.
Yes.
You feel it in the air.
I do. A lot of things happening this week.
Some booms are coming right now.
Well, I don't know. That's not a good thing to say with the content that we'll be covering.
No.
Depends what side of the boom you're on.
Yeah, I guess so.
Where you're at in the world.
Yes.
You just got back from a very wonderful trip, didn't you?
I was in Vietnam last week. I almost called in, but I was at a factory, you know, and I couldn't take off. So
we'll let it go.
Yeah. It was crazy, though. The traffic there is really interesting. There's just motorbikes everywhere, swarming like flies around, you know, 20% of them are cars, 80% bikes. And so the last day, I'm like, you know, I got to do this because there's no rhyme or reason. They just swarm all over.
Oh, gosh.
No one's in a straight lane, and the cars aren't either. And so I rented it.
Flip-flops and shorts.
You're
and
brave.
No helmets and a goat on the back.
Old ladies with the
baby
their
in
kids.
The front.
Yeah. I was just like, oh, my goodness, this is the craziest thing. And so you know, you can rent like a scooter for $10.
Oh,
and I said, how about just for a day? Just for an hour, not a day. And they're like, is $5 too much? I'm like, $5? Sure. So I got to do that. That was an absolute blast. And then I had some foe. I had a friend that's a foodie, a coworker, and he says, hey, I found this on an app. And it's this lady. She used to be a street vendor, and they shut her down. So she started serving right out of her house. She'd push her furniture aside, and there's no signs or anything. You just find it by this app. And so I go, and I can't find the address. Yeah.
Foe, please.
So I go to this other street merchant, and I say, this address, and they all know, and they point. And then I go down this dark hallway. You know, it's just all just dilapidated.
It looked like a shipping container, that picture you sent.
Yeah, totally. It was actually upstairs, and some old guy looks at me and says, like, with his hand, stop, and he points up, and I'm like, oh, I guess I go upstairs. And then we just sit down. This lady sees me and this other guy, and she brings out two bowls, and then at the end, she comes out and pulls out this wad of cash and starts pulling out what we have to pay with. Not one word. There was only one thing on the menu, and so she didn't say one word the whole time, and neither did we. And we ate and paid. We just matched whatever she had in her hand. She pointed
That's
at that.
Great.
And it was awesome. So, well,
And then the funny thing is that you posted that, and somebody in Santa Cruz, the director of YWAM Santa Cruz, said him and his wife went to Vietnam and ran a mission there, and they ate at the same place.
Yes,
this so lady with the pho and no signs with one item.
That's
of
typical
all the gin
YWAM,
joints,
which is youth. Yeah, youth with a mission. It's an amazing missions group. A lot of young people, like college age, stuff like that. If anyone's looking for an adventure in missions, you know, Chris and his wife, they run a camp out of Santa Cruz, YWAM, Youth with a Mission. So I'll put a link in because they're an amazing organization. So
they're doing their first week of hiking, surfing, and skating adventure DTS, discipleship training school, because the world brings people. You know, people come from all over the world to come to Santa Cruz for adventure, and so people are coming to have a God adventure and share God with people. So
yeah,
it's a pretty cool organization. They're great people. So I encourage you to check it out. YWAM Santa Cruz.
What about you, Brandon? Didn't you, you talked about a movie that you saw?
Oh, today, today I went to see Super Spreader. Sean Foyt, Super Spreader. It was phenomenal. It was so well done. It tells about the clash between the state shutting down churches over the last 2 years and all of the battles that went through. Stuff that's not included on the news, like the fact that Cheyenne's church actually sued Gavin Newsom and won, and he was required to pay them. Like, there's stuff that's just not on the news. And it goes all through Sean Foyt's battle up and down to, like, feel, like, called to go take the proclamation of the gospel in worship all over the nation. And he's been to, like, 80 nations in his life. And he said, I never thought that I would actually be fighting for worship in my own nation. So he went to, like, in 1 year, I think they said, like, 86 events, 80 different cities.
Oh, he's the real deal. Yeah, I saw him up in Sacramento with his wife and kids, and he was praising God with all his heart. There were about 2,000 people in the middle of COVID there and right on the steps. And it was our way of saying, let's keep California open. Right. That was the middle of summer. So it was pretty hot that weekend. So God bless Sean Foyt and Super Spreader. So what was the plot? Was it...
It was like the tension in the wrestling match that went between the churches and Sean called to his, he has an organization called Let Us Worship, which is a quote from the book of Exodus where Moses tells the Pharaoh, let us go into the desert and worship the Lord. And Pharaoh says no. And then God sends 10 plagues upon the land. And finally, Pharaoh lets him go. So it's Let Us Worship. And it's just, and there's one moment where like Gavin Newsom literally said, you're not allowed to worship. You're not allowed to sing in church.
Right.
I remember that.
And
he said something just shifted in me, and this prophecy I had about being a warrior rose up in me, and I just had to go lead people in worship all over the nation. So it was pretty powerful. You should check it out. It's being showed at select theaters. I think actually I'm thinking about showing it at our church in a couple of weeks, like on Friday or Saturday night. Invited everybody in Santa Cruz to come see it. Super Spreader.
Hey, talking about Gavin Newsom, I just wanted to bring up a letter that was sent out by pastor teacher John MacArthur, and it was addressed to our governor, and it was September 29th. It was probably the most direct statement I have seen, not just against what is going on in the California legislation, but against the governor himself. And it starts out with this: Sir, Almighty God says in his word, righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a disgrace to any people. Scripture also teaches that it is the chief duty of any civic leader to reward those who do well and to punish evildoers. You have not only failed in that responsibility, you routinely turn it on its head, rewarding evildoers and punishing the righteous.
Whoa.
And so the letter goes on, it quotes some scripture, and it really goes, it calls Gavin Newsom, our governor, to account for the evil things that he is allowing. And I was excited to see it. I thought, it's about time. And I thought, how do we get in line and say, we agree?
Yeah.
So there's some great decrees you can take out of that letter, and you can also write a little letter to Gavin Newsom and use that as a template.
Oh, that's beautiful.
And say, we have had enough of unrighteousness. Amen. Because it really does, it makes a nation sick. You know, it brings curses on a nation.
Yeah, let's put that letter on our show notes as well this week, so you guys can check it out. I would post it, send it on social media, send it out there, and just encourage people to make a statement, take a stand. We're on KSCO Radio with Wake the Bear. We're going to take some calls at the end of the hour, probably about the last 15 minutes. So call in at 845 at the phone number here, 479-1080. KSCO 479-1080. You're listening to KSCO AM Radio in Santa Cruz.
Awesome. And, you know, with John MacArthur also, that letter, you know, some people may view, oh, the church shouldn't get involved, you know, we're just focused in on Jesus. But there are plenty of verses saying that we need to stand up for righteousness. And, you know, when you see unrighteousness happening, you know, wickedness actually happening, we're to call it out. You know, Ephesians talks about us have nothing to do with the deeds of darkness, but rather expose them, you know. And so John MacArthur's exposing, and it's actually true love. when somebody's doing something wicked, it would be better love to be that brought to their attention. Hey, this is what God's word says.
Right.
Rather than say, oh, I don't want to offend. I don't want to, you know, I don't want to play neutral because I might offend another segment of our population. You stand up for righteousness. And I think he did it right. He just directly, now it was public, but maybe it should have been private, but it's hard to keep those things private.
Yeah. And if you're a public official, it's a public address.
Yeah.
I think also, you know, John MacArthur and I probably differ in a lot of different parts of theology, but probably about 90% of the things we agree on. And so, and he's my brother, like, you know, even though we disagree on certain things, the guy's my brother, he loves the Lord Jesus and he's willing to stand up. He feels more like my brother even now. So I'm behind that. And great job, John.
Yeah.
Pastor John.
Yeah. Yeah. Give him credit what credit's due. And that's definitely one. So, hey, tonight, let's talk about what's been in the news lately, because it seems pretty serious.
I love the fact that Trump just filed a $475 million lawsuit against the Communist News Network.
CNN, open up your checkbook.
He's outdone Sanders or Sandman.
Yeah, man.
Right.
I was like, I'm wondering when that was going to happen. And he says, finally, I just have to file the lawsuit because it just have been atrocious. So
awesome.
It just feels like the boom, you know. The time is coming. The boom is coming. I said that once before, but like the boom is coming. There's like, I just feel that shift in the atmosphere. Like now it's time for those who have done wickedness. They've had plenty of time to repent. Now it's going to be exposed.
Yeah. And it's a defamation lawsuit, isn't it? Against his reputation and lies that it's also, they accused him of some things. Did they accuse him of insurrection? Do you know what the premises of the lawsuit?
I don't know. I just know that it's a defamation lawsuit. I have to read up on it a little bit more.
I would say there's a long list that it could be.
Yes.
Russia, Russia, Russia. The Mueller investigation, what they said about that, you know, that he colluded. He threw the 2016 election because Russia came in and, you know.
Influenced the election, yeah.
Yeah, and what else? There's
that was the dossier that was part of that.
Dossier.
And then, of course, what we found out is actually, you know, fake news for sure.
Fake news, yeah, definitely.
I mean, then, of course, the insurrection. It's the worst insurrection that's ever happened when everybody shows up and nobody has a gun.
Yeah, nobody's armed.
There's an insurrection.
Take selfies.
Yeah, exactly. And ask permission to go. Yeah. Go through. Can I go through?
Can I come in through? Sure. Officers let him in.
Crazy.
Yeah. So, I mean, so that's a big deal. I think there's a couple of crazy things that are going on. It just was exposed that the CCP, the Communist Party of Russia, of China, the CCP, Chinese Communist Party, has opened offices of police in various countries throughout the world, including the United States and in New York.
Of police?
Yeah. To police their nationals in our country to make sure they do what they're told.
Wow. I hadn't heard about that.
I don't know if you ever got like a phone call, like a spam call, and it's off. Oh, you need to return to the embassy, you know, and I Googled it and found out it's actually Chinese Communist Party trying to intimidate the nationals who are in America to go back to the embassy so they can question them about what they've been doing.
Oh, wow.
So now they're going to actually put physical offices.
Oh, my goodness. Well, I wonder why we don't just say no.
Well, I think a president, the person that resides in the White House should have something to say about that, since their job is to protect the nation, their primary job.
Yeah,
unless you have friends in strange places like China.
Unless you're a puppet of China.
Yeah, that's amazing. Well, and I also heard in the news that the Chinese are on the ground in Afghanistan. They have. It looks like they may have taken over the largest Air Force base that we left unstaffed when we left Afghanistan. That there is satellite footage that there are Chinese on the ground in Afghanistan, which is an interesting place in the geography for them to be setting up camp. So that's a little disturbing. They are setting out their tendrils all over the place.
So are we expecting knockoff Black Hawk helicopters for a fraction of the price?
Something like that.
Reverse engineered
Black Hawk. Interesting also, this is a huge boom. Like we just talked about just as we entered the office tonight. So Eugene Yu, the CEO of Conich Incorporated, was arrested for his involvement in throwing the election, election integrity, election for lack of election integrity. And now the vote, they were exposing the lack of integrity in the election, this last election, 2020. And Konich secretly filed a lawsuit against them, right? And then it came out that everything that they were trying to stop them from doing was actually true. Like, so True the Vote has actually showed that there was a lack of election integrity. And now they, the person who was driving that was arrested.
Yeah, about 3 weeks ago, we covered that with Greg Phillips as part of True the Vote and Catherine right. Engelbrecht. And they had, they are part of the 2,000 mules.
5,000 mules.
Yes, yeah. Probably more like 20,000 mules. But they were part of Dinesh D'Souza's movie. And so they set up True the Vote, and they also did the pit about 6 weeks ago. If we remember, we covered that in Arizona, where a lot of Anons and researchers and citizen journalists all met so they could be on the same page and how to move forward and be encouraged for helping to keep the election with some integrity come November.
Now, True the Vote actually released a statement about this. They said, True the Vote is honored to have played a small role in what must have been a wide-ranging and complex investigation. The organization is profoundly grateful to the Los Angeles District Attorney's Office for their thorough work and rapid action in this matter. True the Vote was sued last month by Konich to try to silence our organization, including obtaining an ex parte TRO conducted in secret so that True the Vote had no opportunity to contest it. This TRO limited True the Vote's ability to speak on litigation. Today, Konich CEO Eugene Yu was arrested based on alleged evidence of the very activities he and his organization attempted to suppress. Konich was assisted by many reporters who unblinkingly accepted their now discredited claims as fact and simply repeated them, according to True the Vote founder Catherine Engelbrecht. The election integrity should never be a partisan issue, nor should media try to suppress all conversation about it in any way that benefits one party over another. We will continue to report evidence of threats to our election process and work with law enforcement to ensure our elections are secure, a secure space for all American voters.
So much for the most secure elections, huh?
Yeah,
and that was actually not just a security of election. That was, Konich was responsible for housing personal information, including bank accounts and security numbers of poll workers in China, housing it on servers there. And then, of course, the Chinese government claimed that anything housed in China belongs to them. So they found that an American company owned by... I don't know if they're Chinese Americans or not, but they were housing the information of American poll workers. So some polling stations throughout the nation would use that software to sign up poll workers. I don't know if it was used in Santa Cruz or not, but then the poll workers would get paid that they'd have their personal information on there, but that information was then housed in China.
Well, that would give them leverage and the ability to intimidate people in America, mm-hmm. especially if they're bringing their own police here. So,
I'm going to be doing some viewing, for this round.
Yeah, I don't think that lawsuit is going to be very effective anymore against True the Vote.
Yeah, that's good.
So let's get on to a topic that got me a little nervous, to be honest.
Yeah.
The whole thing with, Putin did a speech. In fact, I was in the airport coming home this weekend, and I listened to the speech. I had a layover, so I got to listen to the whole thing. And there were some really interesting things he talked about. He's talking about the whole Ukrainian issue. So, they've been at war. And there's the East Ukraine. These are people that have Russian background. They speak Russian. They have Russian culture.
Mm-hmm.
And since 2014, especially, they have been persecuted by the Ukrainians.
Right.
And so it was really interesting because four areas they annexed, or they left Ukraine and they went to Russia.
Mm-hmm.
And they had an election. They voted. And I think it was like 95, don't quote me, but I think it was like 95, 97% were in favor of going to Russia. That is huge.
Wow.
Now, you could say it's propaganda, but it sure doesn't seem like it. And in fact, we'll talk about it a little bit later, but John Mark Dugan,
yeah,
who
John
we've
Mark
had
Dugan.
On this show, was he was a sheriff here and in the Marines, the Marines.
Yep.
And he exposed fraud and some terrible things that were happening here, and he had to run for his life, and he actually went over to Russia,
yeah,
and so he's been there. Yeah, and so we'll talk about that in a little bit.
Well, but let's talk about this. He actually has been going into Ukraine and interviewing people, and he's doing actual investigative journalism, where our journalists are not. They're just taking the word of the mass media, the AP. Like, he's actually showing.
Yeah.
He actually took somebody in who was anti-Russia, who was Russian, but she's anti-Russia.
Yeah.
And he showed him how all the people there are saying, hey, we've had 12 million people or 12,000 people killed by these Nazis over the last, since 2014, 2015. And we're thankful that Russia's liberating us. So we need to hear the whole story. And you don't really know the whole story until you hear both sides of the story. And it just shows that
he showed a video of it. And it was an amazing video. Her name is Masha, M-A-S-H-A. And she is part of the liberal party within Russia. And she only believes the West. And she thinks that Russia is just,
crazy.
They invaded, unprovoked. That this is a Ukrainian thing and they should be able to take care of it themselves. And so they talked to her before, and she wound up being a translator for him.
Right, became his translator.
But he wanted to bring her over because she was very boisterous about, anti-Russia, even though she's Russian. And she had this guilt. She says the whole world thinks that we are monsters, invading and all that stuff. So he said, you know what, there's not much I could say to change your mind, but can you come with me? And she said, I will go with you. And she was the translator because he's an American. He doesn't really know the language quite yet. So so they go over there, and he says, why don't you interview people? You pick them, And so they went, and she started to interview. And person after person after person, they all said, no, it's the Azov, which is the kind of the neo-Nazi portion of the Ukrainian army. Mm-hmm. Not everyone in the Ukrainian army is a Nazi, but there are large chunks of these nationalists that are literally Nazis. When I say Nazi, I don't mean it as like I'm just calling them a four-letter word or something. These are people like swastika wearing,
Over from World War II, and that party continued to grow and to flourish and to be what the Nazi party represented in Germany.
Yeah.
And their school propaganda. In their schools, they are pushing propaganda to hate those four groups of people because they speak Russian and they have Russian culture. And then the Azovs have been killing their people, bombing them since 2014. And the United States Congress designated the Azov Battalion as a terrorist organization in 2015. But our news media is not talking about it at all. They're saying, oh, that's just propaganda. There's not really an Azov battalion over there doing these wicked things. I'm like, our own legislators designated them a terrorist organization in 2015. So,
yeah. And let me play a little clip while we're talking about it.
Go for it.
From that, and I'll have this in the show notes at wakethebearradio.com.
Go for it.
So this is the interview that John Mark Dugan did with this lady, Masha. Huh. Let's see.
All right. So we went to Valhalla. To the hospital? So we went there. We went to the hospital. We met the doctors. And how did you feel about that trip?
In Volnovakha, they held 600 people in basements. They held them hostages. They didn't let them go.
Who?
The Ukrainian troops. I'm sorry. I'm turning into these people. I just say they.
Yeah.
The Ukrainian troops were holding them hostages in the basements of the hospital.
Mm-hmm.
There were patients. There were wounded people. There were civilians they could catch and put there. There were medical personnel, everyone.
Mm-hmm.
They spent months in the basement.
Mm-hmm.
We walked around some areas of this basement, saw where they slept, where they ate, how they lived there. And they are like, it's impossible conditions. At the same time, the Ukrainian troops found the storage of drugs in the hospital, broke into the safe, and got themselves high on those wonderful cocktail of adrenaline and opium, which makes you fearless, which makes you really high, which makes you do crazy things and not care.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure it's fun. So they were running around, shooting at everywhere through the, well, it's just insane. It's like human hunting or something, I imagine. Mm. It's just crazy.
They wow. did,
yeah.
You know, it's that kind of thing.
And then she goes on to say, when they're done, because the Russians started to make advances, they wanted to leave and they wanted to cover the evidence of what they did. So they turn a tank on and they blow the whole hospital and cave it in onto the basement when they leave. And those 600 people were in there.
Yeah.
You know, so I'm not sure if any survived.
Yeah, she said they would disfigure faces, they would remove fingerprints so there would be no evidence.
Yeah.
Trying to
yeah.
hide the evidence.
So so she was just in tears in this mm-hmm. interview. Like, you know, I didn't believe that. You know, she said, we've always been taught in our schools that we were brothers, that Kiev was the cornerstone of all Russian cities, and they were proud of that. And they always felt like they were, you know, related together. But when she went to the school, the books and stuff said that these people that are Russian are you know, bad people.
Dogs.
They're dogs. Yeah, subhuman, you know, that sort of thing. And she was just shocked. She says, I didn't know they were teaching that to their kids. So there's a different story out there that we're not hearing at all.
Yeah, we are not hearing at all.
At all.
And if you're not hearing it at all, you're over the target when you get a guy like John Mark Dugan going into Ukraine and actually doing the work.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I think one of the reasons that you said you were nervous, Ron, was because of what Putin's speech. His speech was powerful. There are parts of it that made me very uncomfortable. He said he started out really talking about justifying the convergence of the eastern states of Ukraine that had now voted in. And he said, I consider Russia my motherland, and this means that I love in Russia, contemplate and think, sing and speak in Russian, and I believe in a spiritual strength of the Russian people. His spirit is my spirit, meaning the Russian person is like my spirit. His fate is my fate. His suffering is my grief, and its flowering is my joy. And he used this as, it was a quote from Alexandrovich Ilyin, and he used it to say, we went in there because these were our people. And so whether or not that was true, that's what he had just spoken to his, basically, his, the Kremlin. He gave the speech in the Kremlin. It was a packed out house. What very much disturbed me in two different ways was the anti-West statements that he made.
Yeah.
He called the West, us, the elites. And so now I what I really sensed was there wasn't the ability to separate the American people from the American government that is in office right now, which wow. very much is the elites. And I was torn because some of the things he would say, he talked how the values of the West are not our values. They are the values of people who do not believe in God, people who do not believe in family, who do not have ethics, who are corrupt, and who are not even interested in the will of their people. And so he was really putting a anti-West lens on, right. and it was a strong one for the purpose of, you know, these people they've been defaming us, they've been calling us names, they don't like us, they've been accusing us of stuff. After the speech, it just felt like, I don't know whether this is going to be a grand setup for the next piece of the story of Ukraine and Russia, whether the United States will have a more active role, whether there's going to be a false flag or whether there's going to be a real flag, whether it'll be an event that's going to cause war. But it was very clear. He used language that said, we are in a type of war. And he used that language.
Cold War.
The difference was that we had people between Russia and us that were doing kind of the dirty work, that were fighting the battle, but it was us behind them. And so that speech, I think it's very significant. I think that it was the beginning of, I think he's going to be justifying some things. And unfortunately, I think there is a lot of truth in what he said, but there also was probably a lot of spin. So.
Sure. Yeah. And I think that's the key, is that some people will say, oh, you shouldn't even repeat anything Putin says. Wait a second. If you have two people in a fight or in a legal battle or something, you need to hear both sides. Even if one side's wrong, you need to hear it out. And to say that we're not going to talk. I mean, I had a situation with my dog once where it was he attacked me. And he was growling, and the guy came in and told us, well, the reason that your dog ended up biting you is because he was telling you that he was trying to communicate to you that what you were doing he didn't like, and you weren't listening, so then what you're left with is violence. So if you don't allow the other side to talk and have dialogue where they feel like they're being heard, all you're left with is violence. And so the scripture says that in Proverbs 18:17, the first to speak in court sounds right until the cross-examination begins, just like the J6.
Yeah.
We have a fundamental problem right now where we are silencing conversation. And when you silence conversation, you actually bring about violence. That's the problem.
Yes. Speaking of conversation, we have a caller, so I'm going to put him on. His name is Andres, and he's from Paso Tiempo. Andres, you're on the air.
Welcome.
Hey, thank you for taking my call. You're talking about silencing communication. Back in March, when the Ukraine thing started happening, a video was taken off of Amazon. They said they were out of supply for it, but it was kind of coincidental. I think this is Oliver Stone's interviews with Putin and the story of Ukraine back then. So if you haven't seen it, I think it's free on YouTube or free on his website. Mm-hmm.
Ukraine on fire.
We not only watched it, we actually had the producer on our show.
Laponik.
Yeah. Igor Patonik, I think it was Laponik. Yeah.
Laponik.
Great video. And that's one of my sources. And another source that I get the snippets of the Ukraine issue is a comedian named Jimmy Dore. He has a he's actually a leftist, but he's very critical of the left. And he points out a lot of the BS of COVID, and he also points out a lot of BS on the Ukraine issue, and he cites all his stuff. So I'm able to look up what he's talking about.
What's his name? Jimmy
about
Jimmy Dorhe?
Jimmy Dore.
Jimmy Dore. Okay.
Yeah, I mean
Dore, and that's where I learned about the Azov Battalion. That's where I learned about how a national police force was created in Ukraine, and the head of that national police force was appointed, and he used to be from the Azov Battalion. That the Azov Battalion was a paramilitary street gang, and after the coup in 2014 that was pushed by Obama, I think.
Yeah.
The Azov Battalion was turned into a legit National Guard or a faction of the National Guard. So you have all these, it's about 30% is what they say. 30% of that battalion is neo-Nazi. And then they picked a neo-Nazi to be the head of a national police force. So just encouraging people out there to look into some of this stuff. People who might not, you might think that, Ukraine are the good guys, Russia bad. Honestly, I don't think Putin's a awesome possum kind of guy, but between him and Biden, this is the battle of the New World Order, the Anglo-American Masonic New World Order versus the Chinese Russian Alliance New World Order, and I don't really want anything to do with either one of them. But,
that's right.
Hey, let me ask you a question. You're familiar with the Nord Stream explosion, the pipeline.
Yep.
Who do you think blew it up? What's your opinion?
I don't know enough to have my own opinion on it, but what I've been hearing from other people is that it's a combination of the U.S. and Poland, most likely. But first time, when I hear about underwater demolitions, my first association is Jesse Ventura, because he was a Navy SEAL, and he would talk about how he would do that kind of stuff. So I don't think it was Russia. I don't think it was Germany. I think it was either the U.S. or allies of the U.S., people that are stoking the fire of World War III or four or five, whatever you want to call it. It could have been Israel. It could have been so many people. But I don't think it was Russia, unless it's all really not fake but scripted. And, you know, Russia is, you know, it's behind the scenes, they're all working together. But it was predicted by Biden. Biden said it would happen.
Just like days before. He said that if they go forward with this annex of these territories, the Nord pipeline is going to be shut down one way or another.
In World War II, the Japanese ended up declaring war on us because we did some sort of embargo on their oil access in the Southeast Asia, right? Isn't that what happened?
Mm-hmm.
So this is pretty plainly to me, this is an act of war on behalf of the U.S. because not me, but Biden.
That's right, not us.
Yeah. A rogue administration.
But you know what? You were talking, I don't know your name, sorry, lady, but you were talking about how you were listening to the speech and, you know, you heard Putin talk about the West being the elites and how you maybe took offense to that because, you know, we're the West and the government's not the West, and why are they blaming us for the government? I was thinking, when I was hearing you say that, I was thinking in the back of my head, I'm thinking, we get the government we deserve. If we have that government, it's our fault because we're not doing anything to stop it. We haven't risen up and taken our obligation. We haven't picked up our cross and changed our government.
Yeah.
100% agree.
Righteous people have not gotten out to vote like they should. Only a percent.
Voting, really?
Well, I know. Voting and poll watching and being involved and going to the school boards and saying you are not going to teach this to our kids. I mean, getting involved in
teaching
politics.
Your kids about civic responsibility. I mean, we're not doing it and we're not teaching our kids about it. We are getting what we deserve. You're absolutely right, Andres.
Yeah, but we have an opportunity November 8th to change some things,
hey,
don't
we? More callers.
We have an opportunity every day of our lives to
Come
be
on.
Activists.
That's so good.
Well, okay.
Amen. I got a lot of calls lining up.
A lot of calls.
Thank
you for starting the calls, Andre.
Thanks a lot, Andre.
You're welcome.
Okay. We've got another one, Richard from Watsonville. Richard, you're on the air.
Thank you for taking my call. As far as the pipeline, I think it may have been blown up by a torpedo from a submarine. Or like in Santa Barbara, where they had a freighter go across and drag an anchor. You remember that one?
Yes, I do, actually.
I think the one out there that's leaking right now was too far for an anchor. So it was probably a nuclear submarine.
Yeah. Definitely could be. I mean, I was looking at the construction of it, and they say it's an inch and a half thick of steel.
Oh, my goodness.
And then it's wrapped in several inches of cement, and then it has another thing of steel around it. So it's pretty.
Yeah, cement. They call them cement casings.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's easy to do. It's just very destructive, very destructive. And the other thing that I wanted to ask about was these people, they were shown last week, the dead people, when they were going through the forest, there would be a person here buried down 6 feet in a body bag and a person over by this tree and by that tree. In these deep, dark forests. Did you notice that?
I didn't see that, no.
Were you talking about? In the Donetsk?
In the Ukraine.
Okay.
No, in the Ukraine, they had this group of people that go around and check what happened at these battlefields. And they just have bodies scattered all over the place, 6 feet down, in body bags. I've never seen anything like that before. The only thing I've ever seen is people, you know, buried all together in one great big trench.
Yeah.
You know, with a lot of white stuff powdered all over it, you know?
What was the source you got that on? I'd love to check that out.
It was on PBS TV.
Okay.
They're called some kind of special investigative unit that is hired by NATO to go in there. That's what got me, was, and they showed the bodies of the one body per grave. I don't know how or anybody that would go in and kill a whole bunch of people like that. And then, you know, just put them, like they individually buried them in little individual graves.
Yeah.
Very, very strange. And, And then to have the election after that, what was the results? 97% wanted to move out?
Yeah. So that
joined up with the Russians, huh?
Yep, that's what it was. At least that's what I had.
That's what they're telling us.
Yeah.
Well, that should tell you a lot too, right?
Yeah, it does make sense.
And all of our media, I mean, every bit of our media said the whole thing was a sham. That's what gets me.
Hey, Richard.
Who are we to call election sham?
Well, here's a question for you. You started off, Richard, talking about the pipeline. Where were you on September 24th? Because remember, there was a German chancellor that said everybody will remember where they were on September 24th.
Why? Was that the day that...
It happened on the weekend of September 24th.
Oh. Yeah. You know, if you really want to nail it down, was there any earthquakes around that date?
There were actually right at the time of the explosion. There was a 1.9 and a 2.3 on the Richter scale.
Yeah, I don't think that'll take out a pipeline. You know, that whole area is one of the most...
Well, from the explosion is what they're saying.
Oh, from the explosion.
Yeah.
They said that area is one of the most censored underwater areas. And the idea of the torpedo, they say the sonic sound from a torpedo is very unique, that unless there's a new technology, they were pretty sure it couldn't have been a torpedo because of the sonic sound moving through water and all the underwater sensors in that area. Eight countries border that Baltic Sea area, and there were a lot of people in, and it was very... very covert.
Sophisticated sabotage.
200 feet down on the ocean floor.
Okay, Bill, we've got another caller, Ray from Watsonville. Yeah, thank you, Richard. I didn't mean to cut you off there, but we got more callers, and I want to get everybody here. So thank you for the call. Ray, you're on the air.
Try to keep this a little mellow. My take on that pipeline was, consider the fact that that pipeline was shut down for a couple of weeks for maintenance, and one or two of the pipes never were actually connected and put into use. And it started leaking, and it appeared to be two main lines of three. And then consequently, miraculously, it stopped leaking. The European investigating team issued a notice to Russia telling them that before they bring that Keystone pipeline or Nord Stream pipeline back online, that an underwater team's going to have to go in and investigate and find out, make sure that they're structurally sound. So my take is, how is it possible with all that pressure of that natural gas in those pipes to have an explosion from the inside out and then seal itself back up, considering that it's in the Baltic Sea and it's under extreme amount of water pressure just holding the pipe intact? From the deeper you go, the more pressure. So my theory is Putin got up about midnight and went over to that rig and opened up those one or two of those lines and went back home, went to sleep, and wanted to get either a reaction from NATO or the U.S. or, like most of our country does, use that as a smoke screen or propaganda or just something to create noise for some reason or the other.
So a false flag.
I find it absolutely impossible for those pipes to seal themselves back up.
Wow, that's a really interesting theory, Ray.
Yeah, we'll definitely have to wait and see what happens.
Yeah.
You know, anything could happen now.
It could have been a false flag by Russia to give a pretense for war.
I personally think that it was, just given the dynamics and the fact that they were down for maintenance.
Yeah. Well, all they had to do was turn the valve off.
That's right.
They had control.
That's right, and it went viral the next morning. Everybody just went literally ballistic and pointed the fingers at everybody. And let's not forget, though, when that before Russia invaded Ukraine, keep in mind, and let's not forget this at all, Mr. Biden flew over to Russia and had a back behind closed doors meeting with him, if you recall. And the first thing that Joe Biden said when he came out of that private meeting with Vladimir Putin in Russia and went up to the podium, he said that he had just given Vladimir Putin a list of what companies not to hack.
Oh, wow.
Why would anybody in any position, let alone our president, meet with our adversary that just a couple weeks prior that just happened to infiltrate a couple of our companies, created a big wingding over that. But why would Joe Biden make that comment?
Right.
My opinion is just this. Diversion.
Because
Joe Biden basically said, well, Mr. Putin, you can hack anybody you want, but this is the list of the ones not to hack.
What, real quick, where, Ray, where did you see that? Because I'd like to go watch that myself.
Let me see here. You should be able to just, I'm trying to think of what that meeting was all about. I could tell you. That was the same interview, the same scenario where Joe Biden got into it with a CNN reporter and then immediately went to the tarmac to get on Air Force One and got into it with another reporter. So maybe you can find it linking those. Biden goes to meet with Vladimir Putin. Oh, I know what the situation was. Joe Biden made the comment that he's going to confront Vladimir Putin face to face, and he's not afraid of him. That was that time frame. Do you remember that in the media?
Okay,
that'll help. Definitely look. Hey, thanks.
What's your email address?
Ron@wakethebearradio.com or Brandon.
Okay, Ron@wakethebearradio.com. Okay, yeah. I'll find it. I'll send it to you.
Sounds good. Hey, thanks a lot, Ray.
Thanks, Ray.
Got to go to the next caller. Appreciate your call on that and your thoughts. Okay, and we have T from Monterey. You're on the air.
Yeah, well, my thoughts on the pipeline, if it really was destroyed, which I think is what happened, but it was interesting what the previous caller said, where if it was a kind of a falsified destruction, because I don't think it's all in Russia's interest to cause damage to that pipeline, because they make a lot of money off of that when the gas has been sold through there. And all they need to do is they can just turn off the gas flow and just say, hey, we're not going to give any, you know, supply to Germany and not destroy it.
I agree with you on that one. That's kind of my personal take, too. I mean, $20 billion, that's a big price tag to create a false flag.
Yeah. Now, you do have to look at what our president said. And, of course, you know, for some reason, our country, you know, our administration has a huge agenda to not have any fossil fuels. And, you know, he was talking about, like, taking the pipeline out kind of around the bout a ways. And so I kind of am thinking if I had to say who did it, I would say that, you know, Ukraine would probably want to be able to do it. I'm not sure if they have the ability or not. I think it's questionable. But I would think it would certainly be someone that's more on the Ukraine side, and I would say the United States would definitely have the capability of doing that.
Yeah, that's what I'm hearing.
I mean, the other question would be that, you know, Putin, at least early on, and was invited to Davos to be a part of the WEF. So the question is did he... Was he part of it and saw the direction it was going and said, I'm out? Or is he still in? Because we know Trump went there and he basically gave the middle finger, like the MAGA middle finger to the World Economic Forum, and they never asked him back. So I'm wondering, did Putin give the middle finger too, or is he still in, you know?
Yeah. Well, he's part of the BRICS, yeah. The whole gold, getting ready to go on gold and all that stuff.
I mean, if the whole plan is to shift all the entire world's currency over to a global digital currency, maybe that he's playing along and he gets something out of it. Maybe he gets a couple countries. So that I don't know. I mean, we don't know for sure. We're just trying to figure it out, right?
Yeah.
Well, everybody has to do everything they can to stop any, like, a digital dollar, any global digital currency. I won't even get into the reasons why, because what I want to say really quick is something that I think everyone needs to look into and see if this is actually true or not, because I've seen a little bit of this. That are you familiar with the Looking Glass aircraft?
Yeah,
yeah.
Is that the one that has the disc on the top, or is that the?
I'm not sure if that disc or not, but it is. It's one of those types of planes. It's officially known now as the ABNCP, the Airborne National Command Post.
Yes.
So this is the aircraft that's used if there's a concern that we might get nuked and our ground assets are taken out from that. They have this plane flying around to be able to still issue command control to our submarines and, you know, whatever remains on the ground. And if that's really, if they got that up flying, I'm kind of concerned about that.
Yeah, I bought my my iodine tablets yesterday online.
Now,
I did.
Now, I don't know. Are you are you familiar with the gentleman who runs the Monkey Works? He's actually former United States Air Force, and he has a show regularly, like daily. He does a sit trap, and he talks about all the planes that are up, and he goes through and says, these are where there's a no-fly zone because the president's in here. So I've listened to him, and he said that plane has been up a lot over the last 2 years, almost all the time. So I don't know.
Oh, okay.
So I don't know if that's a regular thing or if that's like something special now that they're just telling us. But you can go back and watch. I think he's called Monkey Works.
Yeah, Monkey Works.
And he talks about that particular plane, shows you photos of it, and shows you where it's going. And where
Hey, T. It's a E6B Mercury. Is the latest version of a Boeing 777, but I wouldn't be as concerned. I mean, obviously it's a concern if they have that thing up because they have a particular reason for it, but if it has been kind of up now and then over the past 2 years as opposed to it not being used at all, and all of a sudden now it's up now. So, but yeah, I'll have to look into that.
Hey, T, we're going to let you go. We got a closing couple
thank you.
Minutes.
If you find out, just call us back, okay?
We'll do,
email us.
Thanks, bye.
Bye. Okay. All right. So, hey, wanted to close with one thing, you know, just a section of Putin's speech, you know, because he really points out some moral things. And it's just like a minute, but it really, let me just do that one. It was being translated as he was talking.
This market looting, which will deprive billions of individuals, most of humankind, of the right to determine their own future.
Yeah.
And it's the very negation of the essential fundamental of moral and family rights. I'd like to return to what I said earlier and address all citizens, not just colleagues in the room, to all Russian citizens. Do we want in our country, in Russia, instead of a mother and a father, that we should have parent number one, parent number two? They've gone mad. Do we want that in our schools, in the early primary schools, that we should teach this perversion, that we should talk about not just men and women, but that there would be an additional gender? Is that what we want for our children, for our country? We will not accept that. We have our own future that lies ahead of us.
Wow.
Yeah, and then he goes on and quotes Christ. He says on the Sermon on the Mount, you know, that about false prophets and stuff, and he says, you'll know them by their fruit. And so, you know, just listening to that, I'm just thinking, gosh, where are we at right now? We're pushing these things, and at least he's, you know, I mean, his audience, he's talking about Christ, and, you know, our president won't talk about Christ like that, and then they're pushing the gender thing.
Well, and they raise up, it comes back to this thing that, you know, God raised up Assyria and Babylon, which were more wicked nations, to destroy Israel because it would not return to God.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I pray that we're not in that kind of situation. I mean, we're not Israel. We're not the civic nation, but we need to pray and we need to return to God. Our nation needs to turn back to Jesus and confess our sin and ask for forgiveness and move on.
Yeah. Tonight's Yom Kippur. It's the Day of Atonement. God bless you guys. Yeah.
Amen. This has been Wake the Bear Radio on KSCO, 1080 on your AM dial.